News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And we start hour two of the El Paso History Radio Show with an El Paso History Moment. It was produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission. And her story today is about a piece of an enchilada. No, wait. It's about the whole enchilada.
The whole enchilada makes it into Guinness and the U.S. Congressional Records. In 1981, restaurant owner Roberto Estrada created the first monster flat enchilada for the newly created Whole Enchilada Festival in Las Cruces. And it turned out to be the perfect recipe for one of the most successful annual festivals in New Mexico for over 34 years. But in 2000, Roberto took his infamous flat enchiladas to a whole new level by entering the Guinness World Book of Records for the world's largest flat enchilada. Roberto, his family, and volunteers set to work, turning 750 pounds of stone-ground corn into three 30-foot tortillas and used 175 gallons of oil to heat the tortillas in Roberto's specially designed cooking equipment. He then used 175 pounds of grated cheese and 50 pounds of onions for the filling and 75 gallons of Mesilla red chili sauce. And set the Guinness World Record, they did. In March of 2001, Roberto and his record-winning flat enchilada were honored with entry into the U.S. Congressional Record as the makers of the world's largest red enchilada. More El Paso history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I just went online and guess what I found? SargentInventoryServices.com.
Yes. Yeah, you guys we're inventorying. It's January.
Waiting.
It's January. It's time to start looking at the rest of the year to get your stuff all inventory.
So what you guys do, you bring cameras in, you write down what you're looking at, you give them a video and say, here's what you got in your house. So when either a fire, a theft, or a divorce, or something crazy like that occurs,
you've got a
probate,
record of it.
Yeah. Probate.
And believe me, when I had some camera equipment stolen out of my car, it was so funny because I went in, because I've been doing the inventory service, I had mine inventory, and the police looked at it like, oh my God. This was great. I was settled my claim with my insurance company in no time flat.
There you go. So that's the deal for the insurance that you guys do, or actually the service of recording things. Okay, that is you guys. Now let's talk about the commission. The meeting is Monday.
Monday, not tomorrow.
No, but this, I know. It's coming up fast because January's hit the fan already, and the second Monday is this coming Monday.
Time to get going for 2017, and it's going to be at the United Bank located down on Main Street in downtown El Paso, and it's a great place to go. And if you don't have to be a member of the commission, you can come and visit their public meetings, or you can get involved without being an appointed commissioner. So give Bernie Sargent a call at 915-581-7920 if you have an interest, and hope to see you get involved.
All right, we have a lingering call from the previous hour. Is that correct? If I hit this button, will they go on the air? No, they won't. What happened to them? I hit five, and five hit the fan. Okay, there she is. She's calling back right there. We're going to do this because it's Ruth. Ruth called up and said she had a peppy comment, and then put that on hold real quick, Shelly, so I can put that on the air. Thank you very much. Shelly, put that on hold. I can put that on the air. She's not listening. Okay, Ruth, I'm sorry.
You wonder?
we'll catch up with Ruth later, but Ruth had a comment about that. Okay, let's talk about the history of El Paso way back in like the 1820s.
That's right.
It wasn't really El Paso then. It was a location. It was a bend on the river. It was a place where Oñate crossed with all of his folks. And that became the pass, or the crossing at the Pass of the North. So that's kind of the history that we had there. Then the Mexicans showed up. After the Spanish kind of like got their deal done, the Mexicans showed up, and then what happened? Well, there was a boundary.
That's right.
Going to happen between what was now the United States of America. Not quite. Texas was around. We're going to ask a guy who knows every bit about this. Gabe Duran, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me here.
It's wonderful to be here again.
Well, Gabe Duran, you've been here a couple of times, but we always end up managing not to cover the subjects.
Well, there's so many of them.
We have too much to do in here. Today we have a distraction known as Radio Free Salsa. But for your purposes, you're with the International Boundary and Water Commission. What is your office? What is your title? What do you do?
Well, right now, I retired from the Boundary Commission after 28 and a half years. And they said, Gabe, can you stick around and help us out? So now I'm a contract employee for the Boundary Commission.
You know where things are in the files, and they said, come back and find them.
Yeah, I do.
So Gabe Duran is here from the International Boundary Water Commission, and what the heck does that mean?
The International Boundary Commission is actually two pieces, the American piece or U.S. piece and the Mexican piece. And we work together to solve boundary disputes, if there's any, and work together on water issues, dividing water equitably between the two countries. So there's a lot of responsibility. In fact, the Boundary Commission affects the lives of millions of people, but we're a very quiet agency. We're not very boisterous, but we do help many, many, many people, irrigation water, farming, providing the amount of water that belongs to each country. So, and levees and flood control systems. So big responsibility. The commissioner has a lot of work to do.
And where are you getting this water?
Well, of course, everything is like from the life of the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
So you know a lot about those New Mexico people, I'm guessing.
Well, we know a lot about New Mexico, Texas, California. We're all along the boundary.
Well, the thing was, when this was forming, back when you were getting the water rights and everything under control, New Mexico didn't even exist. It wasn't even a territory.
Well, it was the territory of Mexico.
That's of Mexico.
Yeah, so it was the far frontier of Mexico.
Wow.
It was like way out there from Mexico City.
Okay, so what year were we talking? 1820 what?
We're talking about just after the Spanish had been removed from this part of the world. They went back to Spain and Mexico becomes a country, 1821.
21.
Right, uh-huh. And
okay. Were they removed from New Mexico as well?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so that was now just a piece of property with nobody in charge.
Well, you know, they set up their administrators, but it was like far flung from New Mexico. It was like... And that's one reason why you have this New Mexico furniture. You know, all this New Mexican culture. It's because they formed their own culture outside of, far away from Mexico City.
I just spent an hour talking about New Mexican food.
Yeah.
And I got some still sitting
exactly
here.
Exactly, same
and,
thing.
And you can see it. That's part of the culture that was developed. And a lot of it is Indian food that was incorporated into the local culture. And you got enchiladas and sopapillas and all that good food. And, of course, you got the wonderful chiles.
So, we love that stuff.
Yeah.
So now that we got that all figured out, I'm even more hungry, even though I've had quite a bit of salsa here. But the by the way, we're going to Pepe's after the show, if you can make it. I'll buy you
thank
lunch.
You. Yeah.
Up the canyon, up the river there.
Oh, right.
But the thing about the Boundary Commission, back in 1820s, there was no presence of any kind here from Texas, was there?
You know, the Texans always claimed later on, 1836, when they became their own nation,
right?
They claimed the Rio Grande as part of their territory. So that goes right up the middle of
New Mexico. 1821, none of those guys were here.
No, none of them were here, of course.
So you were forward-thinking people.
what did you... You had Mr. Ponce here, right?
Yeah, you had Ponce. No, he was here much earlier than that. So 1821...
He was gone by then?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got the Franklin Coon. Who was here?
Okay. Let's kind of backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
So 1821, there was a very important event that happened. Some smugglers, this gentleman, his name was Beckwith, I believe.
Beckwith?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He was. He had a pack, a train of mules, and he was going to try to trade with the new Spaniards or Spain. So he came around the border thinking, hey, I can smuggle my stuff in this way. But when he got to Santa Fe, he was met with some Mexican soldiers. And they said, what are you going to do? And he said, well, we want to trade. You want to trade? Well, come on in. You know, we kicked out the Spanish, and we want to trade with you now.
So
we want to trade with the United States. Before, the policy was, hey, keep those Americans out of New Spain.
Did he come across the trail from Missouri to Santa Fe?
Pretty much so.
Okay,
he followed that trail.
Okay.
And that's a very important thing as to why the United States had such an interest in this part of the world. Because one thing that Mr. Becknell discovered was that the New Mexicans had gold and silver.
Yeehaw!
And they had a lot of it. So there's no coincidence that we have UTEP miners here. You had Asarco here, Phelps Dodge here, and then you had all the mines in Arizona. It's because this area, the geology is exposed, and you can find that stuff.
Very rich in minerals.
And they had been mining it for a very long time, and they had all this gold and silver, but they didn't have a good way to use it because Mexico City was so far down the line. You had to bring everything up from the south way up here to Santa Fe and these areas. And it was just so much convenient for the Americans to come from Missouri and trade, and they loved it.
And we've heard about your seven cities of gold.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that's always one of the major motivators whenever.
But at that time, there were no railroads.
No railroads.
So hauling ore around is like a whole lot of problem.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay, what happened next?
Let me tell you what's going to happen here. So the Americans discover that there is this wonderful market where there's gold and they can pay in gold and silver out here in the West. So they run back to Santa Fe and nothing spreads like good news. You know, we can trade with the Mexicans now. So they would load up these carts and the Mexicans called them carretas or carros. And they would load up these carts and they would take them. You could get anything from the Americans, material, shoes, anything. They would bring it on these on the what they call the Santa Fe Trail.
Right.
So once they established the Santa Fe Trail, hey, let's keep doing this. It's great.
That's the section between Santa Fe and Missouri called the Santa Fe Trail.
Well, yes.
Or was it the one south?
No, it's that one and the one south. The Santa Fe Trail was actually a circle.
Oh.
You would start off in Independence, Missouri. You would load up all your goods there. And then you would head west, and you would head west along the Santa Fe Trail until you got to Santa Fe. When you got to Santa Fe, you would go south. South from Santa Fe, Albuquerque, down through the Jornada del Muerto to El Paso, out to Chihuahua, Saltillo, Monterrey, to the coast, back up the Mississippi to Missouri again.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So all that was done so that, of course, they could make a lot of money. That's why you have the MacGuffins here, because they were the original traders on the Santa Fe Trail.
T-R-A-D-E-R-S.
Yeah, and they made
a
lot of money.
Yeah.
they sure did. They made a lot of money, him and his brother Samuel.
Well, the two of them, what they did, they ended up having warehouses in El Paso. Is that and then later in the 1840s and so.
Yeah, and that was all part of the whole process. So you would start off in Missouri with your cart. You would trade everything. Even the whiskey bottles that they brought were important because they could hold fluid. The horses, the wagons,
cart.
Everything. By the time you got to Monterrey out there, you had nothing but the gold that you were carrying. So you would carry, you would take a little boat back up to New Orleans and up the Mississippi back to Independence, Missouri. So their goal, the American traders' goal was to sell everything by the time they got down to Monterey.
So El Paso was major on this circuit.
That's right. It was major place on the circuit. That's why the MacGuffins were here.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, later on, of course, the United States knows, hey, this is not such a bad deal. We got, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out west. And that's one reason why the Americans had the interest in obtaining this part of the world here.
So the Boundary Commission showed up to say, okay, what boundary? Let's make this happen, right?
Well, of course, there was a war.
The Rio Grande.
Well, of course, there was a war, right?
Which one?
The Mexican-American War. 1846, I believe, around there. Somewhere in there. And, of course, the Americans won, and then you have to decide where you're going to make your limits, both countries. So for the Americans, it was like, whoa, we got all this. Let's find out what's there. And for the Americans saying, for the Mexican, it was like, this is an open wound. Let's seal it up as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So two commissioners were appointed, one from each president of each respective country. So one from Mexico, one from the United States. And they have the responsibility of marking the boundary and making any changes that were necessary as if it were written into the treaty.
So it's a cooperative treaty. Here we go to fix the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be the next chapter we talk about after the break.
Yeah, okay.
Because we got to sell some stuff here.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
And we have a caller. Do we have a caller we need to talk to here? No, we don't. Fair enough. We're going to do trivia.
That's right. You're going to do that now?
Melissa
or?
Sargent, we should do that because it's 11:20.
Okay. But we're still talking food.
Well, now you still have questions about Pepe's.
Mm-hmm.
Should we keep going?
Do you
have a boundary commission? What do you want to do, Melissa? I'll leave it up to you.
I just duplicated a question here. Okay. The question we had was, name the restaurant in Mesilla Plaza area, also owned by a Griggs family member.
Oh, I know this.
That, we talked about that several times.
I got this. Oh, I can't win.
Yes.
No.
No, you can't.
I can't. But what can I win if I were able to win?
You can win a Pepe's gift certificate or an El Paso Gold DVD. And the choices we have today are the El Paso Legends of El Paso's Mountains Women's Club, El Paso Smelter, MacGuffin Home, Ghost Videos, Gunfights the Old West, and John Lee's El Paso.
That wasn't the Women's Fight Club. You didn't say that.
Did I say the Women's Fight Club?
No, you didn't.
Dang.
I just thought
that sounds good, though.
I thought I'd throw that in and mess up both your
head. No, I know. Hey, we could.
That's not what it is. They don't fight.
A scratch fist.
They're nice people, but I just thought I'd mess with your head. Okay, and to get all that stuff, they call us on the phone. They answer that question. What was the question? Right.
The question is, name the restaurant in Mesilla Plaza area also owned by a Griggs family member.
Ah, and you get this stuff.
That's right.
Okay, call us up, right?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Do the Google search results for you or your business make you angry? Unfavorable comments, negative reviews, embarrassing pictures, and harmful articles on the internet are worse than irritating. They can really damage your life and your livelihood. Why? People treat online search results as facts, even if they're not true. Fortunately, you can get real relief from negative search results with ReputationDefender.com. Reputation Defender combats harmful search content using our patented system that makes the best things jump out when people Google you. Trust your personal and professional reputation to the experts with over 10 years' experience getting results. Visit ReputationDefender.com to get a free no-obligation expert consultation and Reputation Defender's free online monitoring service, which gives you a detailed picture of how you look online. To get started for free or to learn more, visit Reputation Defender on the web at ReputationDefender.com.
El Paso Roadrunner RV Park, your one stop for all your RV needs. A service and repair center, RV parts and accessories, and an on-site mechanic that can cover insurance claims, warranty work, or even winterize your RV. El Paso Roadrunner RV Park, 1212 Lafayette Drive.
Use your income tax refund for your down payment at Rides Auto Group. Bring in last year's W-2 and a current pay stub, and Rides will prepare your income tax return for you. Many late model cars are still under factory warranty. Plus, Rides Auto Group provides a lifetime powertrain warranty on most vehicles. Your tax refund buys you more at Rides Auto Group, 8000 Gateway East at Yarbrough and 9501 Montana at McRae. Go to RidesAutoGroup.com for more information.
Do you spend your nights going to the bathroom instead of sleeping? Can't sit through a movie or have trouble peeing? If so, you may be one of the 50% of adult men suffering from an enlarged prostate. If you suffer from a weak stream, frequent urgency, discomfort during urination, or even a diminished sex drive, then listen to this. There's now a major breakthrough to help get these problems under control. Prosvent is a doctor-formulated blend of natural herbs and nutrients specifically designed to help promote the health of your prostate. It's so effective, relief is guaranteed within 30 days.
This is wonderful stuff. Remarkable stuff. I wish someone had told me about it sooner.
To get a free bottle of Prosvent with your order, call 800-480-3869 or go to yourfreebottle.com and enter iHeart at checkout. Remember, call 800-480-3869 or go to yourfreebottle.com. That's 800-480-3869. Supplies are limited, so call 800-480-3869 now.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $5,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Associates, and we're offering you free information on how to virtually eliminate your credit card debt and make your monthly payment affordable. To see how much you could save, call now, 1-800-700-3515. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes, and we could save you thousands. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. Credit Associates. Live better debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling now. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call Credit Associates now and see how much money you could save for free. Call 1-800-700-3515. That's 1-800-700-3515.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, we got a full slate of callers. We got Ruth, we got Sandy, we got Sandra. A lot of sand out there, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Let me tell you a couple of things here. Who's in here next week on January the 14th? Leon Blevins.
Yay.
Mr. Blevins, he arrives to share stories about El Paso history. He has seen a lot of El Paso history, and he has reenacted the rest of it, I'm sure of that. January 21st, what history is happening in the new year at the El Paso Museum of History? Do you think they have history at the Museum of History? We're going to find out with Ben Fife, the interim director. And on the 28th, we've got El Paso banker Les Parker joining us. You can hear about his bank, United Bank of El Paso del Norte. But he's also got a very interesting artifact. How would you describe that artifact?
It's a piece of art to me because it's an old bank vault that was actually from a bank here in El Paso that was underground in the basement of one of the buildings. And he took it out of there. I mean, the process to get that thing, he'll share. But it's beautiful. He had it restored. Spent a few dollars having it restored. It's like a piece of jewelry or art.
It's like 10, 12 feet tall. It weighs tons.
And it's right in the middle of the lobby area of the bank downtown.
Well, if you're
United
going,
Bank of El Paso.
If you're going downtown, what is it? That's Kansas Street that goes in.
Main and...
Well, Kansas and Campbell are both ends of his building.
Yeah.
But the one going down on the one-way downtown, you look left if you stop at that light, you're faced with this bank vault through the window.
Yeah.
Humonga.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Anyway, so we'll talk to him about all that kind of stuff. What do you got over there? You got something interesting?
Well, I got to remind everybody, a note from KTSM, the bosses, and it's about our giveaway stuff.
Oh, yes.
Radio station policy is that one person in a household may win a prize every 60 days. So since you know who you are, don't play this trivia contest if you've won in the last 60 days. The prize lady will know who you are when you show up and will cancel your gift. So you have 10 business days to pick up your prize in person. And Shelley, of course, if you win, will tell you how it works if you win. And then you can, if you win two coupons at once, like both questions, you will now have to fill out an IRS form when you pick up your prize. Well, IRS has just got their fingers everywhere.
You
want to
play our trivia question? Have an accountant.
That's right.
No, it's not quite that bad.
Not that bad.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Speaking of having people on the phone, here we got Ruth on the phone. Hey, Ruth, thanks for holding. Chico, how's it going?
I want you to know that I've really enjoyed your show today.
Thank you.
And number two, when I go to Pepe's, everybody, the Pepe's, know me by name.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't go in and I'm Joe Blow from somewhere. They know my name.
Oh, yeah.
Pepe's has put Canutillo, Texas on the map.
Indeed. And that's actually very good food, as you know.
Absolutely excellent.
Well, now you're someone of your own legacy, as I recall. You have you're the Gillette the sheriff in the family, correct?
Yes.
Way back there. Good for you.
People leave me alone in this area because you know my relatives had a reputation knowing how to use what was needed.
Indeed, and now your reputation is preceding you as well. Go to Pepe's together maybe today.
Absolutely.
If you got time.
Absolutely, and I just want to thank you for having them on the show because they're an excellent restaurant. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You take care, and we'll see you at Pepe's.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks for listening.
Well, yeah, the place has a reputation. It was the food that drew me there, and I'm realizing, these guys were part of the restaurant. Oh, my God, the tradition continues.
Yeah,
okay,
it was so
now,
when they opened.
Now we got the tough guys coming up here. These guys are the question guys on the trivia. And Sandy Farmer, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing, Jackson?
Surviving, sir. Yourself, Melissa's here. We're having fun. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm ready to answer that trivia question.
What was it?
That question was, name the restaurant in Mesilla Plaza area who also was also a Griggs family member.
Well, you know, you can't grow up in Las Cruces and not know that. Growing up with Katie Meeks Communis running the La Posta restaurant, was, every junior, senior prom I went to, and I went to three of them, I had the opportunity to take those beautiful ladies that I went to the prom with to La Posta for dinner.
Winner!
Ah.
Winner! You got that. Like, that was ingrained in your genes, dude. You knew that one.
Yeah, well, you know, when we first came to Las Cruces in 1959, the first place that my father took me as a family was to La Posta, and he introduced us to Katie because they went there when he was in college.
Oh,
mother
yeah.
and dad.
Yeah, the traditions span generations. Mine does as well. Well, you got yourself a choice here between some DVDs. If you don't have them all, you'll also get Pepe's. You can't get enough of that Pepe's food. What's your choice?
I'm going to leave the Pepe's one over to somebody that hasn't been there.
Okay.
Oh, good.
We got your DVD here. Pick one of these here.
What do we got?
We got Legends of El Paso's Mountain, Women's Club of El Paso, Last Tour of the Smelter, Rosa Guerrero's 80th Birthday Party, MacGuffin Home, Ghost Videos, Ghost Stories 2 and 4, and Tom Lee's El Paso and the Smelter.
Go ahead and give me the MacGuffin Home.
Perfect.
Fair
okay.
enough. Sandy gets MacGuffin. Well, Sandy, thanks for ringing up. You do. Take care. And come to Pepe's today if we'll be out there.
I'll probably try to get over there in just a few. You guys are going to be out there about 12:30, right?
About 12:30.
Okay, I'll see you out there at 12:30. Give me a little time to get some things done here at the house.
We're all going out there as well. Hold on here, and Shelly, come tell you how to pick this up, all right?
Howdy,
all right, hold on. Thanks so much. Okay, now we have another person on the phone. Name's Gabe. Don't go away, by the way. Gabe's
waiting.
Gabe's sitting over here very patiently saying, what the heck are you guys doing? But who is this? This is Sandra. Sandra, on the radio. Howdy.
Good morning.
What's happening? You ready for a question?
Oh, I hope.
We have another...
I knew the answer to the first one, I don't know about this one.
Melissa comes with another one.
Well, I kind of messed up. I'm going to have to make one up because I didn't have the... Fourth
okay,
question.
Let's
you have one?
I'll tell you what, Sandra, you want to make up a question for us?
What was found in the bank and was restored?
Ah, I know this one. A bank vault.
That's right.
Ah, what a smart woman.
I like how this game works.
Actually, she could have said Grant was in there, but you know.
We're going to give it to you either way, Sandra, because we just blew it. But that's okay. That's the whole point is to talk about this stuff and give stuff away.
So what are we going to get?
Well, we can do one. We can do a Pepe certificate. Have you been there?
Well, it's been a long time ago.
Oh, you got to go.
We live on the Far East Side.
Oh.
Well, you take a day trip. You pack a lunch, and by the time you get near Pepe's, you're hungry. You're hungry again. But you got to stop by this radio station and pick up a certificate. Can you handle that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, here's how we do this. Shelly's going to come on the phone, tell you how to get the certificate for Pepe's. Tell her that's what you want. And then you can figure out the rest of it at some future date.
Okay, well, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
And have a
listening.
Wonderful new year. We love your show.
Thank you kindly.
Too.
You take care, easy. Hold on. Don't go away. You don't get no food. Okay, we got
there.
That lady there gets a certificate to Pepe's.
That's right.
We got this all figured out.
Sandy.
This just gets confusing. Should we take
a break? I think we should
Gabe,
take a break.
Gabe's got more to talk about. We're going to take one more break and come back and talk
and
to
you. And you can see lovely Gabe.
Oh, Gabe.
On Facebook
Gabe,
this
where's
morning.
Gabe? Where's Gabe?
We've got him everywhere. We've got two pictures of him, one dressed kind of in a suit, and the other one he's in his miners?
Yeah.
UTEP miners.
Oh, there you go. I see him right now. The salsa is still on the table.
I was just going to say, you can see the salsa there.
All right. We're not going to leave the salsa here. I got news for you. Should we take that break and call us up?
Call us at 915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
So, how's the remodel going?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? My contractor is amazing. He's made the whole process so easy on me. It's like I've always said, it pays to look for the seal. Ladies, I am not kidding. I always look for the seal.
Oh, I know you do. I do too.
Me too.
That's the truth. When we bought our car, we looked for the seal. When we were searching for daycares, we looked for the seal. I won't even buy shoes online unless I see the seal.
The BBB makes my life easier because I know I can always trust BBB accredited businesses. That's why I always look for the seal.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have come to that portion of our program where we tell you what's happening this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Why the fight over the arena isn't over. Expect more fireworks as a major business group says it opposes a new location.
Okay, that's going to be fun. Walmart wants to sell all that land it owns on the west side, but a big development may still be in the works.
Another historic downtown building will get a major makeover.
That's going to be interesting. El Paso, Inc. It's online, ElPasoInc.com, and available for home and business delivery. You also should check out El Paso Inc.'s subscription special going on right now. Ooh. Buy one for yourself and get one free for a friend.
I did that for a friend this year, too.
What do you got to
do?
So
you can call them at 915-534-4422 and check out that subscription special.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, they discuss the controversial Texas Privacy Act, the so-called bathroom bill that would ban transgender people from using the bathroom of their choice. No snickering in the background. Melissa says what?
I say keep the bathroom.
No, it's your line here, dude.
I know.
Chikaka.
Well, I was talking about privacy.
Oh.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts the Sundays Extra at 10:35 p.m. only on ABC 7.
That's ABC 7. We
That's
like
right.
them. They like us. So
right.
Gabe is here.
Morning, Gabe.
Poor old Gabe. He's been sitting in the corner.
He's over there in the dark.
Parked him in the dust. Hey, Gabe, how's
it
going?
I'm like a little puppy sitting next to his fire hydrant.
Well, come out and be a big dog now, because we really appreciate what you were saying. I don't think a lot of people, and I haven't heard it phrased like you phrased it, the world stage that El Paso is on for history, this boundary business is front and center on that world stage, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
How do we rate? What's the big deal here?
Well, let me talk a little bit about this. Every once in a while, when the public affairs officer is not available, I say, Gabe, we got some visitors. Can you talk to them? I say, yeah, sure. I'll go talk to them. And other countries are very interested in how we manage, and I'm talking about both sections, Mexican and U.S. section, how we manage to keep the peace and work together so cooperatively over all these years.
There's borders everywhere. We're a
yes,
good example.
Uh-huh. A wonderful example of how countries deal with each other and where they meet at their limits. So recently we had Egypt and Sudan, and we had Ethiopia come visit us. So,
really?
Oh, yeah. They have little conflicts along their boundaries, like sometimes lead to wars.
Yes.
And they say, well, how's a good way to resolve these problems? And they look to the Boundary Commission as a wonderful example of how to come to mutual accord on many things.
There are two partners in the International Boundary and Water Commission. They are?
The Mexican section, U.S. section. Yeah. And work wonderfully well together over all these years.
Well, and so on the world stage, to have a boundary that works like this, it didn't just fall into place. We've been talking about how it began. And some of the early commissioners were kind of like the only law in the territory at their time.
Well, yes. No, that's very true. Now,
tell us what happened when the first couple of guys showed up as commissioners. Who was around here? What was going on?
Okay. Let's go way back. Let's go back to, the war's ended, and there comes the time to select a commissioner to settle these questions or along the boundary. And the Rio Grande was not so much a problem because it's a physical boundary on a physical element on the Earth's surface, right? But going west, it was a problem because you had to mark the boundary. And there's plenty of markers that go out west, 276, I believe, and 258. Monument 258 is the last boundary on the Pacific. Monument number one right here in El Paso, or actually New Mexico, right across the river from Executive Center Paisano.
Well, technically, it touches Texas, yes?
No.
Technically?
No.
Doesn't do that.
No.
Okay, never mind.
It's in Doñana County.
Okay, never
I
mind.
I think he knows. He works there.
Well, he's the guy who would know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with him.
Well, now, wait a minute. When you go all the way out to the tip of Texas, that's and you see it on the map, there's a tip. That's actually up in Canyatillo somewhere, that tip.
That tip is in
the farthest west.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's right.
Gotcha. Go keep going.
So then there were three players, early players. One guy was Ambrose Sevier. He was the first commissioner designated. So he goes down to Mexico City before he actually is confirmed by Congress. And he gets Montezuma's revenge and he dies.
So that'll teach him.
He dies. So
and don't come back.
That's kind of funny. And it's kind of ironic, but
I bet he wasn't laughing. Yeah, sure.
Well, it happened.
Yes.
And then you had this.
Montezuma's revenge. If you don't know what that is,
I think that's quite appropriate.
Well, if you don't know what that is, call somebody else.
I think everybody here knows what that is.
Yeah.
And then, we had to appoint another commissioner, so they appointed this guy named Weller.
Who?
Weller, John Weller. And Weller is he is a congressman, ran for governorship, a faithful Democrat, loses.
What state?
Ohio. Uh-huh. So he loses, and because he's been a faithful Democrat, they say there's a boundary commission position. Take it.
We got a job for you.
Yeah, so he takes it, and he runs off via Panama to San Diego, and he establishes with the Mexican commissioner the line from San Diego to the Colorado River. So that part is Weller. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then the Whigs come into power. And the Whigs were anti-slavery
party.
Oh,
like the Whigs.
The Whigs.
Oh,
okay,
Whigs, whatever.
Maybe that's the Hispanic in me coming out.
Whigs. The Whigs party.
Wasn't there an H in that word? It was in England. Though. Anyway,
it was W-H-I-G,
yeah.
There you go.
Okay,
and then, so you had the Whigs come into power, and they say, well, you're out, and we're going to put our guy in. And that guy's name is John Bartlett.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Bartlett. Yeah.
We've heard of him.
Yeah, he was a bookstore owner in New York, and he got influence with the government because a lot of prominent people, Albert Gallatin and others, would come visit to read the books that he had in his bookstore, and then he makes his government connection that way. So he says, wow, you know what? I'm tired of being a bookstore owner. I want to see the world. I want to do things. I want to get off my rear end and see the world. So he's kind of lobbying for himself, and they said, you know what? We don't have any positions in England or Norway or Sweden where you have your interest. Oh, there's the Boundary Commission. What? Yeah, remember we had this war. Oh, yeah, the war that I was against. Oh, yeah, that one. Well, we need a commissioner. You want that job? He says, yeah, he takes it.
So he does. Huh?
Yeah, but he also is a very intelligent man, very, very intelligent. He only had a high school education, but he excels in a lot of different areas in science and art.
Up until this conversation, I bet a lot of people, the only thing they know about Bartlett is he was an artist, and he drew the painting of the MacGuffin guy above the piano down at the house.
That's his painting, and it was done by a name called Pratt, Henry Pratt.
Oh, that wasn't his painting.
He owned it.
That's his image on the painting.
Oh, got it. Move
that's
on.
That's Bartlett.
Okay.
And that painting was done by Pratt. And another famous person in history is associated with the Boundary Commission, associated with El Paso, for another time.
But a painter's, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you see, when the Boundary Commission came out here, there were no photographers. There was no photography. You had to do everything by drawing it out. And Bartlett becomes quite good at even rivaling some of these guys, these professional guys.
All right.
So he would be riding along in his carriage along the boundary, or would be the boundary. He'd see a mountain. He'd sketch it out really pretty. And then at the fire in the evening, he'd kind of finish it off.
Oh.
And, And there's wonderful books and examples you can find on the internet and see his artwork. Wonderful book here by Heinz and Hein, I believe, and it has many of his artworks in the back.
Oh, yes.
It's beautiful.
Bartlett's Drawings of the Mexican Boundary by Robert Heine. Okay. Uh-huh. This is a well-worn book.
I've read that book many times. I love that book. So anyway, so Bartlett's on the stage, and he's commissioner, and he's a Whig, and of course, you can see the beginnings of the conflict between the northern states and the southern states because it's in the commission. Yes. And we talked a little bit about all the gold and silver that was out here in the West. Mm-hmm. Well, there's more gold in California. Mm-hmm. And it's just been discovered around that time.
48, yes. Indeed.
Yeah, so one of Bartlett's main objectives and he was tasked with is establishing a railroad route to the West via the southern part of this, what we now know as the United States, so that trains could go back and forth from the southern states to California and bring back all that gold. Oh, boy, and that was something else, because then when the officers from the, let's say, the south part of the United States, Georgia and all those other states, learned that Commissioner Bartlett had decided where the boundary would be north, further north, where it would be more difficult to build a railroad route, they wrote nasty letters back to Washington like you won't believe.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that led to Bartlett's being dismissed. But what the commission or what the United States had earned through force of arms, this part of the world, they had to buy back from Mexico in what we now know as the Gadsden Purchase. So that's why these two countries were jockeying so hard to determine where the southern boundary would be with New Mexico and the United States and why it was so important. And because of that, Bartlett's name is associated with that malplaced point, which is now close to where the restaurant you're talking about in Las Cruces.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's in just...
Oh, you mean La Posta.
La Posta, yeah. Just west of the Rio Grande by the small community of Doña Ana. And
that's
I think there's a marker out there that marks
there is.
That first agreed point between Mexico and the United States.
Amazing.
And then that boundary was going to go west. Until it hit the first tributary of the Gila River, go north, and then the Gila River was going to become the boundary between the United States and Mexico.
What changed all that?
Well, like I was saying, that railroad route that was never...
you can't get railroads through that Robledo Mountain area.
No, that's right, and the Gila and all that stuff, so it's much... And it's there. The railroad is there now. You go towards... you drive to Tucson, you can see the railroad. It's on your right-hand side as you go west. So... That railroad route that was established further north in Ogden, Utah, I believe, or Utah, I can't remember the
up
exact
there,
place.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That should have been
That
should have been down here, right here.
Except for politics.
And the Civil War.
That's the Civil War politics, I mean.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Congress was not about to put a cross-country route in a southern state.
Well,
period.
Because they lost. And there's other implications, too. But
if you were a northern guy, you weren't going to permit that.
You would want that.
No.
Right. And that's why the Southerners who were part of the U.S. Commission didn't want that. They were still very much associated with their states. They would fight for their state first before they fought for the United States. After the Civil War, we no longer talk about states. We talk about
the USA.
The USA.
Well, so the Boundary Commission at this time was in the major formation of the southern part of the country's boundary.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Not just a Rio Grande business, because that was kind of like there.
That's there. Uh-huh.
And when the Rio Grande moved, you guys had to deal with that, the Chamizal settlement.
Right, and other ones.
But that was kind of understandable. But this stuff where you're going, well, it's either up here by Mesilla or it's over here by the Robledo Mountains. And whatever you pick, you had due west from there.
And you hit
Weird.
Mountains. You would hit mountains, and of course we know it's hard to build railroads.
They don't do that.
In this area.
They hate that. So they took some more southern route, and the guy said, go get some more land from that Santa Ana guy.
That's right. So
it was Santa Ana.
Yes, it was Santa Ana. Uh-huh.
Yes,
and he took those $10 million, $15 million that we paid for it, and he squandered it in Mexico.
And guess who cut the check?
The United States, of course.
Mm-hmm. Who?
No, I don't know.
James K. Polk.
Oh, okay. Yes,
ta-da!
Of course. Yes.
Yay!
He was a
go figure.
The
I got the checkbook.
I get the prize. We're going to take a break. Should we do that?
Yeah.
We'll come back and buy Arizona for you.
Okay.
What do you think? 544, what the heck?
544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Looking for a way to show that you're a diehard Cowboy or Longhorn fan?
Get your favorite fan even more wrapped up in their favorite team with Denali Microplush College and NFL blankets from the Northwest Company and sold at EliteTeam.com. These super soft blankets are machine washable and 100% made in the USA. Elite Team, the official blanket of pure fandemonium. Go to EliteTeam.com and save 10% with promo code IHEART.
Here it is, Cowboy and Longhorn fans. Wrap yourself up in your favorite team blanket at EliteTeam.com.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $5,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Associates, and we're offering you free information on how to virtually eliminate your credit card debt and make your monthly payment affordable. To see how much you could save, call now, 1-800-700-3515. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. Credit Associates. Live better debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling now. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call Credit Associates now and see how much money you could save for free. Call 1-800-700-3515. That's 1-800-700-3515.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, I got another thing to tell you about the El Paso Archaeological Society. They are the ones who basically help create the Museum of Archaeology out there and keep it going. And off and on, the city now runs it, but off and on, they get amazing speakers out there. But I got to tell you about their newsletter. I got one in my hand here. They give you articles about stuff all over the Southwest. These are talking about articles. This is one about archaeologists.
Yeah, easy for you to say.
Archaeologies. Well, once in a while, I make a mistake.
You're
allowed. Have you ever noticed about that?
Yeah, don't we both?
Anyway, they found a temple to the wind god beneath a supermarket.
What?
In Mexico City. They found a temple? W-I-N-D. They found a temple to the wind god beneath a supermarket, and they're digging them up.
Cool.
Quetzalcoatl was there, apparently. Oh, my goodness. Human remains. Anyway, so the stuff all over the place in archaeology. Talk to these folks out there because they have a major thing going on.
That's right. In fact, we were talking about earlier with the membership that the EPAS does all these different presentations during the year. And the first one coming up is with Dr. Ben Brown, who's a frequent guest on the show. And he'll be speaking for the El Paso Archaeological Society at 2 p.m. on January 21st on the topic Paqueme, la perla, I'm doing well today.
Go ahead.
La perla del norte redu. The president, yeah, I know. It's
none of that made sense.
Redu.
Keep going.
We got somebody that speaks better Spanish than I do. The presentation is free and open to the public and takes place at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, which is located at 4301 Trans Mountain Road. And so you need to get out there and hear Ben. He is excellent.
Well, Ben's good. But in the newsletter, can you say those words, Gabe Duran?
I had the Pacame.
No, this is something else. Oh. In their newsletter, they got pictures of...
La Ceneguilla is one word I see here that...
La Ceneguilla?
Ceneguilla, yeah.
Ceneguilla.
Uh-huh, like a little swamp area.
Okay, uh-huh. What's that other word?
Oh, is that what that means?
Uh-huh. Well, I see one here that looks like Japanese, but I probably messed that one up.
So how am I supposed to get it, you know? Anyway, but that's the thing is E-Pass has got these places around. They'll take you out there and show you stuff in the desert. It'll blow your mind what's out in the desert. Did you know that there's petroglyphs up on the Franklin Mountains? People do not know that.
Oh, you know, that's a very interesting thing. You know, like when Bartlett was coming from the east out this way, he actually runs out of water, and there's only one good source of water.
Hueco tanks.
Hueco tanks, right. So when he gets there, and we talked a little about his artwork, what he does, he goes through hueco tanks, and of course he drinks the water, but he sees these wonderful petroglyphs there, and he records them. So there is a recording of those petroglyphs, and they might be erased by now because, you know, the passage of
1820s,
time.
1820s, yeah.
And, well, 1840s. With the passage of time and people have graffitied over them, but in his book, you can see some of the original petroglyphs that were there.
Do you have those pictures somewhere here?
No, but they're in his two-volume sets that you can see there.
So the early guys came here, shot out of a cannon, so to speak, out of Washington. Hey, go out there and find the border.
That's exactly right.
And there was no border.
Was no border. You had to establish it.
So these guys show up. They're sort of ten horns.
So you have two major guys. You have we talked a little bit about Weller and we talked about Ambrose Sevier, but now we're going to talk a little bit about Emory. Now, Emory was present in each phase of establishing the boundary. Bartlett was out there rescuing maidens. And actually, Bartlett, he spent a huge amount of taxpayers' money and didn't accomplish a single thing.
How does that ever happen? That never happens out of Washington. Never.
Politicians.
It did happen with him. And Emory says, Emory is reappointed as the astronomer and surveyor to meet Bartlett. He comes out to El Paso and he says, where's the commission? Nobody knows. He's out there and he's on the western part of Arizona and Mexico, and he's gotten sick and he hasn't done a cotton picking thing. So he comes to El Paso and he organizes everybody. You have two very different personalities, Bartlett, you know, off the wall, kind of disorganized, and you get Emory here. He's military training.
1 minute.
Woo. Military training. So he says, I'm going to organize these people and I'm going to get to work. So he starts from El Paso and he surveys the Rio Grande all the way down to close to Wrinkle Barracks, which is close to the Gulf Coast. And with military discipline, he gets these men to work. Mm-hmm. He pushes them to the point of starvation and no clothes and no shoes. Their feet are cut from walking on sharp rocks, but they accomplish a heck of a lot of work in a very short amount of time. And Bartlett almost accomplished nothing. Well, did accomplish nothing. I don't know.
Who was the one that hung people?
Well, Bartlett, because when he got here, he had too much gear, too many people, so he had to let some people go. Some of these men were ruffians from Texas, and they run down to San Eli and Socorro, and they start...
messing with the women.
Messing with the women and shooting people and pulling knives and stabbing people and killing
people. And he had them hung.
He had four men hung.
Okay, now
that's not nice.
No authority whatsoever. It seemed like a good idea. Let's hang these guys.
Well, you had one other authority is Major Van Horn, who was the military commander of the area.
He thought it was a good idea too.
No, well, he probably didn't have the resources as much resources as Bartlett had at the time. So Bartlett takes it in upon himself to go out there and restore order.
And they were his guys anyway. Gabe Duran, thank you. We've got to get out of here because it's that kind of day. But thank you, Gabe Duran, for being here. International Boundary
Is it
Water.
Over? We're done.
59.
Isn't that quick?
We got 17 seconds left.
I could have gone on for another 4 hours.
We'll have to get you back in here and talk about this again, Gabe. Thank you very much. Melissa, next week.
Next week. And also, you can go to Twitter and I'll tweet at you. And that's at EP Hist Radio Show.
Okay, that's again another thing to find us
that's
on.
Right.
Otherwise, ephistory.com is the website that has the podcast for this show. Control Room, thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Good to see you again in the new year. Gabe, thanks a lot for being here.
Oh, wonderful to be here.
Take
thank
care.
You.
We're all going to Pepe's. See you there as soon as I can get there. 12,
yeah, as soon as we can get
12:30.
There.
12:30.
Depending on the traffic.
Otherwise, next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.